I'm expecting nothing.
The whole idea of the body, about being skinny, all of that, out the window. I was like, I don't care. I just need to release. And I want to remember, I remember that time when I felt the way I did when I was running through the rain and how empowered. I cried because I was empowered. How empowering I felt. I want to feel that again because I feel so horrible right now. I feel so terrible. I feel so lost. I feel so angry. And I just need to feel something. And that's when I started that whole new journey. Running became a whole new journey. It wasn't about being fast. It wasn't about how many miles. It wasn't about, oh, I'm going to be skinny. It was more of, I need to do this because of my mental health and helping me feel good about myself. I needed to feel good about myself. No one was going to do it except for me. And I needed to feel good about myself. And it, since running was the way, I was going to do it.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Reinvent Health Podcast. Here we get to chat to some of the world's most interesting and influential people about everything to do with physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. If you want to make healthy changes and live a better life, you are in the right place. Please don't forget to rate, leave a review, and share with everyone who wants to live their best life. And now your host, Nikki Robertson.
In today's episode, I chat with the incredible running coach and life coach, Lisa DeLugo. This show is all about the power of personal transformation. Lisa uses health and fitness as a tool to empower her clients to live their best lives. Lisa is very active on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Clubhouse, and her personal website where you can book a consultation. All of her contact details are in the show notes. Welcome to the Reinvent Podcast, Lisa. We met, it was all serendipitous. What a strange meeting that was. I didn't even know Clubhouse existed. It was the first time I clicked on that icon. I fell into your Clubhouse and I'd just come back from a run and you were speaking to me. And it was the weirdest feeling. I was completely hooked on what you were saying.
That was crazy. I felt... And it wasn't just you. There was other women that reached out afterwards. And I was just like, what just happened here? It's so craziness.
Do you ever get a feeling that something else is speaking through you, that you have this immense purpose in your life and that something else sometimes takes over and your mouth is moving and your voice is going, but wow, you're just hitting people where they need to be touched. And it makes magic. And I think it's such a thrill to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And that's how I know I'm meant to be where I'm meant to be.
So let's chat and give everyone a good foundational understanding of how did you get to where you are today? You're a running coach, you're a nutritionist, you're a life coach. How did you get to this point where you are in a position to help people become the best versions of themselves?
So how much time do we have? I'm just kidding. Well, I think it's because I was on that journey. Like I was on that journey that whole entire, my whole entire life. And even as a young child, and it's so funny, I say that. Now looking at pictures of when I was a young child, I was not overweight. But in my head, I was. I was so huge in my head. And I'm not understanding where that came from, but I think it has a lot to do with the comparison of yourself with other girls growing up and maybe not getting the things that I needed to be told that I don't need to look like anybody but myself. So that journey was like forever up and down, trying to be healthier. I will say it came, and I tried so many times. I failed so many times. I was just on the Clubhouse just now, and I said, "If name the diet, I was on it." So, but I think what happened was that as I grew older, I wanted so desperately to feel good about myself. Like I, no matter what I was getting, whether it was money, and I'm not rich, but if I felt financially stable, it wasn't that. If I was in a okay relationship, it wasn't that. I just felt like there was, I just wanted to feel really good about myself. And I think that after my going through my divorce, where I lost myself, because as I, you know, later I learned that when I was married, I lost who I was. I lost my power. And, you know, not to say that I was, when I say power, I don't mean like, oh, I'm the boss and people better listen to me. My inner power, I lost it. I didn't realize that until after I was, you know, after, you know, he left and I was going through the whole, you know, trying to figure out who I was, I realized I lost it. So during that transition, I wanted so desperately to feel good about myself. And I was going to therapy and I just needed this outlet. And I decided to try running again, because I tried it many, many times. and you know, there has been one time where I was successful, and but, you know, I lost it and lost the skill of it, and was doing it all about it the wrong way. So going through that transition and really delving into running and looking at it as more of a companion to, you know, the therapy and a way to feel good about myself. That's where it all began. And that's when I started actually eating better. And during that time, I actually found out I had a gluten problem. I mean, there was tons of things that I found out about myself that it brought me to where I am right now.
Let's just step back to what you said about losing your sense of self or losing yourself. And, you know, I see this with so many women and men, frankly, who are in a relationship and it's a slow decay of who they are. That happens so slowly over such a long period of time that we don't see it coming. We don't even notice it going. And you wake up one day and you go, who am I? I mean, I'm not the person I used to be. And some people could call that growth. And in some cases, it's very often, it's very obvious, a decline. And at what point in your relationship, I mean, and you're a mom, you're a single mom, you've got a daughter. At what point did you wake up and go, where did I go? What, at what point did the penny drop? Because I think a lot of us who've been through this can really pinpoint the time and the day where we woke up and we went, I can't do this anymore. So how did that pan out in your experience?
So it's funny because I don't think it was a moment, and that's probably, that was the problem. It was multiple wake-ups, multiple wake-ups. And I said, nah, Lisa, that you're overthinking it. And no. And no, this will get better. Or maybe I need to do it like this. Or maybe I need to think like, that is what was happening. And I was trying to, it was like this push and pull throughout the entire marriage, to be honest with you. That's why I say I really didn't do it. Like, I didn't think of marriage of, first of all, if you know the story, I never really wanted to get married ever. Like, I never thought of that was something I wanted to do. Not because of fear of anything. I just never thought, why am I going to do it? And I think that I fell into that thinking that I had to. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Everyone else is doing it. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do it. So throughout the entire relationship, it was a push and pull. Of course, I married the wrong person. I was with the wrong person. And he was no angel himself. I mean, he wasn't the right individual to be with for me. And he had his own demons. But I had multiple wake-ups. And it wasn't till he left. Now, he left the relationship and you would have thought that I was relieved, right? You would think that. But I was still holding on to the ideal or the ideation of what a woman was supposed to be and isn't that terrible that I'm saying this?
No, like, it's, but I think it's so important because we're brought up to believe that women do this and they act a certain way and they behave a certain way and marriages work like this. There's a push, pull and a give and take. No one talks about don't lose yourself. And that's the most important message we can give our children, boys and girls, is to be yourself in your, to be radically honest with yourself about what your needs are. And yes, to say it out loud, often I say things and I admit to things out loud and I go, my goodness, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's human. And I think we can relate to it. And I think your story is so relatable because so many of us have been through this. So don't stop.
Okay. Yeah. So basically it was all of that. And then when he left, I was still like crying about it and depressed about it. And I remember my therapist said this to me. This was, I would say maybe this was the aha moment. She said to me, she said, Lisa, let me ask you something. If you had an opportunity to have him back, would you want to have him back? And crazy as this sounds, because here in my mind, I'm thinking, I want to stay in this marriage. It's broken. Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to me. And when she said that, I said, no. Yeah. And she said, so then what's really the issue? And for me, the issue was the idea of what I was supposed to do, what I was meant to do. And then so when I answered that question, it actually threw me into a gray area of, oh my God, so what now? So, you know, it's like one minute, you know how you got the, you're into somebody and you want to be with them. And then you got the, I don't want to be with you. And then you got the gray area where like, what do I want? Like who then it's the, who am I? Yes. What's going on? What happened? So that was where I did some hardcore self work, you know, of course, with my therapist and really trying to find who Lisa was. And she said, you got to find who you were. Cause she asked me, what do you like to do? I was like, oh my God, I don't know. I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh my God, what happened to me? That's when I said, what happened to me? I was not like this. I was so strong and I was so like, really, I knew what I wanted in the world. And I was so empowered. I'm like, what the hell happened? So, that was where I did a lot of the work and it was that moment. But going back to your original question, mm-hmm. multiple wake-ups and not listening.
Sometimes the universe whispers and sometimes it slaps us around and we don't hear because we have these romantic notions of, and I think we, like you mentioned, we fall in love with the idea of how something's meant to be, not what it is. And very seldom, you know, this sort of fantasized version of what marriage and relationships are, and even our relationships with ourselves, you know, what we're supposed to look like, what we're supposed to talk like, how we're supposed to present ourselves to the world. It's a fantasy based on unreality. And when we don't live up to that, we get depressed or we get anxious or we don't like ourselves. It's hard work because this is the way we've been conditioned. And what really inspired me when I was listening to you speak last week was how you coach. Now, when you say you're a running coach, the first thing that comes to mind is you're going to teach somebody how to breathe and their pace, and you're going to give them a training program. But what really, really appealed to me was how when you really love yourself, your running is different. And now you've nailed it. Now this is someone who I can really, I want to listen to because I get that. When you go out for a run, or any sport, I suppose, but I can talk to running, and you are in a poor man's state. And for me, running is a headspace. It's not a physical, it's not a body thing. It's a head thing. And you're beating yourself up. You have a terrible run. But when you do that with the intention that you are there to heal, that you're there to process, that you're there to give yourself a break because you deserve it. It's a completely different experience. And that is something that you said that, and that completely resonated with me. So when you said a little bit earlier that you tried running previously in your life, and then you thought you'd give it another go, let's talk through that, because I think a lot of our listeners or my listeners are a lot of women, would love to run, would love to get more active, but find it really, really hard. So let's talk through your process of how you learned to love running and how you learned to love yourself.
So the process of running was, and you know, there was a article that was just written about me recently. And I said, and I read the article and I say this to everybody. The first attempt was in high school and it was a jogging club and I lasted one day. Because I was like, my God, these blisters, I'm not doing this. Are you kidding me? And I was actually very disappointed because in my mind, I saw running as that's what fit and skinny people do. That's what fit and skinny people. So now that I can't do it, that means I'm not going to be fit and skinny. That's really what it said. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
So I gave that up for that at that moment because I was like, I did not realize how hard it was, because it is hard. If you've never done it, it's hard. And then I revisited it in my early to mid 20s, and I saw it more of as a weight loss. I was still in that mindset of it's for skinny people. It's for people mm-hmm. that are fit. So, man, if I could do this, that I'm going to be skinny and fit and I'm going to look amazing. That's what I was thinking, the physical aspect of it. And I failed again. And I don't mean it failed, but I mean, like, I did a couch, a 5K.
Yeah.
And I trained on a treadmill versus on the pavement. And I had shin splints to the point where I couldn't even walk. So that was it. That was done. That was number two. Uh-huh. Third time around, it was in my early 30s. I was actually pretty successful. But here was the difference. I was still thinking if I could do this, I can be skinny. I was losing tons of weight while I was doing the running. But then I started feeling this emotional, mental thing that was going on in my head. I was training for a half marathon, never done it.
Yeah.
And I literally did it all on my own. Didn't even hire anyone at that time. Goodness. I don't even know if there was a running coach. I don't remember if that was, I didn't know that was a thing. Okay. So I took a program online and I just basically followed it. And I remember running through the rain and crying. I remember it was mile. Uh-huh. I was doing 8 miles and I started crying. I'm like, why am I crying? I'm like, oh my, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm doing this. Oh my God, me? I'm running 7-8 miles? And I did complete the half marathon and my mindset was still, it was starting to change about my relationship with running was starting to change, as was my relationship with myself. But that was the moment then I got married, and that, yeah, kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. So like I was up, I was like soaring, and not to say that marriage is not to bring you down, but I was in this very empowered feeling and mode phase, learning about myself, feeling strong about myself, loving myself. And then I got married because I thought that was what was meant. That was meant to happen. And I was in those days, that was late. I was like 33, 34, that was late to get married. Wow. Did Lisa, when is that going to happen? 34. So I got married and that's when I stopped the running, lost myself. And going back, fast forward to revisiting it was the whole idea of the body, about being skinny, all of that out the window. I was like, I don't care. I just need to release. And I want to remember, I remember that time when I felt the way I did when I was running through the rain and how empowered. I cried because I was empowered. How empowering I felt. I want to feel that again because I feel so horrible right now. I feel so terrible. I feel so lost. I feel so angry. And I just need to feel something. And that's when I started that whole new journey. Running became a whole new journey. It wasn't about being fast. It wasn't about how many miles. It wasn't about, oh, I'm going to be skinny. It was more of, I need to do this because of my mental health and helping me feel good about myself. I needed to feel good about myself. No one was going to do it except for me. And I needed to feel good about myself. And mm-hmm. since running was the way, I was going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you said you just got to that peak and then you got married, and that's, I think sometimes life's way of going, okay, so you've got to this level. Now we've got to level up and see if you can get through the next challenge. And I've always thought that running isn't for people who are young. It's kind of something that you can only really get into over the age of 30, even 40 or older. I can completely relate to what you're saying, because as a child, I was expected to run at school. I hated it, but we weren't really taught how to run properly or how to breathe or how to pace yourself. And through my 20s, I was convinced that I've got nothing to run away from. Why must I go run? There's nothing chasing me. But it was something I always wanted to do, just like, so magnificent to watch somebody who looks comfortable. I don't think there really is a comfortable runner, to be honest. I think everyone's faking it. But some people look so graceful and they look like they're so relaxed and they are having the time of their lives. But what we know is that everybody doing that is busy processing something, is busy going through something in their heads, and their bodies are looking fantastic. But I think you need to get into your 30s before you have enough baggage that you need to process for running.
Yes.
I think that's the secret, because yeah. The only thing that maybe cyclists have the same feeling. I don't know. I'm not a cyclist, but I think it takes living first to understand the value of being able to do something that is so, I think, primal. Running is primal. It's something we're created and designed to do. And I think it is one of the ways that we naturally can process stuff, you know, trauma, things that we're going through.
That's exactly, you know, all the things that you're saying, you know, of course, I resonate with. But I love the part where you said it's very primal, because, I mean, I still cry. I feel so free. And it's a very freeing feeling. And I still cry. And I don't only cry because I'm sad. I'm crying because I'm so happy. When I'm running, there's times I've cried. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so amazing. You know, I can't believe it. I'm so amazing. Oh my God, I overcame that. And I'm not talking about just running. It's just all these different things that I'm processing. But I think that there's something that there's a connection with movement and processing trauma, and there's something that happens. And if you could think about it, I mean, when they say movement, when I think about the things that are in my head, and I think that's what happens, we get stuck in our heads. But as we're moving, mm-hmm. we're moving it like through our bodies and mm-hmm. out. So that's kind of how I see it.
And that's true, because the human brain is designed to solve problems in motion so that we can hunt or run away from a predator while we're moving, because if we had to stop to think, we'd be dead or we'd mm-hmm. starve. So it is a natural way of problem solving. But in this day and age, people don't move enough, and we see these levels of anxiety and desperation and depression. It's out of control, because people are so sedentary and they're not seeing the link. So I know you coach women, but you coach men as well. Is that right?
No, I actually don't. I've okay. never coached a man. Okay. not to say that I will never say no to a man if a man asked me to coach them. But I've only coached women.
So if a woman came to you and went, I'm mid-30s, mid-40s, I'm overweight, I want to start running, I've never run or hated running in the past, how do you go about getting them up and moving and loving the all the rewards that come from doing this sport?
Well, I've had a lot of those women. and I think that the first thing is I meet with them, you know, with, you know, through Zoom or, you know, however, and I get to know them. And it's kind of like, where are you at? Why do you want to do this? tell me a little bit about, you know, about you and mm-hmm. how did you get to this point? If have you ever tried it before? What are other things you tried? What are your thoughts about it? How do you think about it? Like, I want to know what this person is thinking in their minds when they're putting, when they're signing up to do this journey. So then I can understand and kind of change the way I, you know, what techniques I give to them is going to be different for them versus somebody sure. else because of the way they think. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting to know them. And then with that, I then, I get them going to do the, I write a plan for them. But they're going to be running with me. And as they're running with me, we're not just talking about running. Hi, how's your day? How's everything? Tell me about yourself. Uh-huh. What's going on? And I remember one time, this one woman said, I can't run more than 2 minutes. I said, okay, no problem. 2 minutes, that's fine. She goes, I'm not fast. I said, nobody said you had to be fast. Just do a nice little jog. So I said, we'll do a run and stop, you know, run and then walk, run, walk. That's how it's going to be. She's like, okay, all right. I can't run fast. I can't run. I'm like, that's fine. So the first time we did that, you know, we did run, walk, and she's like, okay. She goes, that was good. I said, uh-huh. You feel good? She goes, yeah, I feel good. So the second time, or maybe second, third, now she's telling, now when she did that first time, I knew she can run a little bit longer. Uh-huh. Like I could tell, I could feel her energy. I hear her breathing. She wasn't like dying. And I'm just like, okay, she's in her head. So about the third, fourth time we did this again, I didn't tell her to stop. She kept talking. I said, oh, so then what happened with that one? And then I said, okay, stop. She goes, how long were you running? I said, you did like 10 minutes of running. Wow. She goes, no. I said, yeah. So, you know, that then you see their face. Then they start, then you think, then like I'm even getting the goosebumps just talking about it, because then you feel that, oh my God, I can do this. Oh my God, I can do this. Oh my God, I can really do this. Yes. Then they bought it. Then they believe in themselves. Then they know that they can do it. But that's just part one. Cause now you gotta like, can they keep on doing it? And there's going to, and just like the journey, there's going to be ups and downs. And I say that to them as well in the beginning, this is a journey. You will be having some not so great days. You will probably not want to run one of these days. You will probably have a huge setback. You might even have an injury. Expect that. This is part of the journey. And even I have those setbacks. So just that you know that. So and the whole idea is that I don't want them thinking, you know, and I was just in the clubhouse talking about this all or nothing mentality. Oh, I'm good. Yeah. I got to keep being good. Good, good, good. Oh, I messed up. Oh, see, I knew it. I'm terrible at this. I'm not going to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to think that way. So I, you know, it's a slow progress and a process to get them to the point where then they start believing. And that's what it, you know, honestly, what it all comes down to, that they can believe, that they believe they can do this. Uh-huh. And then when they start feeling the benefits, that's the other part of it. When am I going to feel this energy? I remember this one woman, when am I going to feel this energy that everyone's talking about? You're telling me that I'm going to have more energy than this? And I said, yes, you will. And I promise I'll give my right arm that you're going to feel like you have more energy. I don't believe you. I'm like, uh-huh. Fine, don't believe me. So what happens? I remember she calls me, or she either called me or texted me. She goes, oh my God, I did not believe you. And I feel this energy. Uh-huh. I said, I told you. Mm-hmm. So now they believe in themselves. Now they're reaping the benefits. Now they're hooked. And I remember this one woman telling me, I'm hooked. I need a run. I need a release. I need it. Oh my God, what's going on with me? She's telling me this. So now, not only they believe, they're reaping the benefits, now they're feeling like this is something that's going to be part of their life.
That's the thing. And I think that's why it's not a game for very young people, because it's like trying to sell life insurance to a 12-year-old. They don't get it. It's like, why? You know, it comes to a point in your life where you go, oh, it's all a long game. And this is something that's going to take time. And if you can just, it's like trying to lose weight. It's hardest when you're really working it and nothing is happening. And then you feel like giving up. But if you just push through just a little bit longer, suddenly it all falls into place and you go, I can own that. And that is where people's power is. And I just love that point. I know I can relate so well to what you said, because when you see a person's face light up and they own what they did, no one could do it for them. And they just, you know, sucked it up and went just the extra step and they suddenly get it. You know, that's it. They own their power and you can't take that away. And that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. And you know, when you see a woman who never thought she can do it, and I use her, this other woman, as an example all the time, because we did an interview on Facebook. We did a Facebook Live and she said it in front of everybody. And if she listens to this, she's going to know it's about her, because she said during the interview, now, mind you, we already trained. She already did the 5K. She completed it first time ever. And she's like, you know, when I finally become a runner, she said that. I said, excuse me? I said, you are a runner. I said, did you not put your shoes on and run? You're a runner. You know, it is just an amazing feeling. Not only to see it, them feeling it, but, you know, me watching it is empowering as well.
Mm. You know, I mean, I've been running for properly for about 3 years now. And oh, goodness, about a month or two ago, I did my first 21st half marathon. And only then did I consider myself a runner. Until then, I thought, I'm just playing with this game. And what is it about that mindset? Because, you know, it's ridiculous. Even if you do 5Ks twice a week, you're still a runner. If you're going anything faster than a walk, you're a runner. Why do we diminish ourselves and, you know, aren't able, and I'm sure it's men as well as women, but I could only talk being a woman, that we diminish our achievements. We don't recognize where we're at.
I know. You know, it's funny you're saying this, because it's unfortunately, and this is what makes it hard, is this whole comparing ourselves to other people and what we see out on, especially with social media, what you see, the accolades of the woman who did the marathon while she was pregnant, the accolades of, you know, those runners that are running miles after miles, and it's that comparison, and everyone's like, wow, that, look at that runner go. You know, you don't see the accolades or this craziness over the woman who's just doing 5Ks at a 13-minute mile pace. Uh-huh. You're not seeing, you know, that's, I think, is the problem, is we compare ourselves. So with that being said, and I just said this morning, I said, we can't change that. That's how it is. You're going to have to, and I said, this is going to be hard, because this is, I mean, I deal with it too. You're going to have to tell yourself, this is my journey. This is my life. I could not do this X, Y, and Z years ago. And look at me now. And just stay on your path and be proud of the things that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So that when you do put your shoes on and you're just doing a, I don't care, 3 miles, 5K, 8, whatever it is you're doing, you say, I'm a runner. Mm. I'm a runner. Yes. And you believe it, and you say it like you believe it. You are a runner. Yeah. So it comes down to making that mind shift and then believing it.
Yeah. And it's really, really difficult. But it also goes back to what you mentioned earlier about, you know, when you were a child, and I suffered from this as well. I thought something was wrong with me. I looked different from everybody else. And it does set you up to become highly competitive, highly judgmental of yourself, highly critical of yourself. And where does it get anyone in the end? On one level, we've got, you know, you should be critical and you should be competitive, and that's how you raise the bar. And I don't believe that for a minute. I think that's just a very, very outdated backward way of how the world should work. So yeah, I think these things do start in childhood where we should be taught. And as moms, you know, with the huge responsibility of bringing up, especially girls, how do you get that right? Like you said, in this day and age with social media, because people don't post the horrible stuff on social media. It's a highlight reel. So this is all we're exposed to. I was watching a clip on a Salomon trail run yesterday, and you see these women, gorgeous women running up mountains, but no one posts, you know, what it took for them to get there and how many times they fell over and face planted trying to get up this mountain. No, we just see the beauty shots. And it's really sending the wrong message to so many people who could be incredible athletes for themselves and for their happiness and for their lives. So this is something that should change. You know, you're sitting in such, and I suppose myself to an extent, is we're sitting with a responsibility to help people help themselves and to show them that we're all in this together. And yeah, post the highlight reels, but post maybe we should be posting the runs that really we opted out of, and the days where it didn't work out so well, and the days where it didn't work, because people can relate to that too. And then when you do succeed, it inspires people more. So I think it's really important to get more real. And that's what I loved about your talk last week on Clubhouse, was it's so real, and we need more real. We need more real people in this world, because there's so much BS going on, and it's really depressing. It's not good for any of us.
No, and it's funny you're saying all of this, because how do we do this? And I'm doing it right now, and it's not easy. You know, I have a daughter, and she's already comparing her body to other girls. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, now, you know, like I said, I love my mother. She's amazing, but she did not have the skills to speak to me in a certain way. I mean, she did give me she never brought me down. She never did any of that. Were there other people in my family that did? Yes, they were. There was. And she did what she was taught. But for me, knowing what I know now, it's hard. It's hard. And I just went through this. I go through it all the time. Mom, I don't look good. I don't like the way my body is. And I'm like, you're still growing. Like, what are you talking about? And why can't I look like those girls? And I said, oh, so you want to look like everybody else? Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And you know, what I try to do, and I'm still, it's so hard. I try to do is help her change her mindset. So if that is when we go into the, you know, change room, when we go to the store, we were trying on bathing suits, and she's like, I wish I could wear a bikini. I said, you're going to wear a bikini. She goes, I don't know. I don't like, she's 10, by the way. Okay. She's 10. And we put on a bikini, and I said, oh my God, look at you. And she looked at herself and she said, wow, I look amazing.
Oh.
And I said, yeah, you do. You do look amazing. And so it's those things of, you know, having her look at herself, and there's different bathing suits that are better suited for people's bodies. And mind you, in her mind, she's doing what I did. She's got the same body type as I do. And she's doing the exact same thing that I was doing, where I am. And she's, you know, she's a taller girl. So she's thinking she's big. And that's the same thing I thought myself. She's not big.
Yeah.
But she's still, it's a roller coaster with her. So empowering her, showing her that she has the power, showing her that, you know, what's wrong with the way she looks, loving herself, learning that I can't give that to her. She's going to have to give that to herself. But just giving her those reinforcements and those tools so that she can hold on to it as she goes through this, because it's not going to be an easy ride for her. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And then even like telling her, well, let me tell you something. I want you to look at yourself in the mirror. I want you to stand up straight. She stands up straight. I said, I want you to put your head up high. Look straight. She puts her head up high. She looks straight. I said, look at yourself in the mirror. She goes, oh, wow. okay, I said, how do you look? She goes, I look good. Uh-huh. I said, how do you feel? I feel good. I said, do you notice that when you have your posture, when you're looking to the ground, that it brings you down? But when you put yourself up, back, shoulders back, looking straight, looking powerful, you have this power within you. How does that make you feel? She goes, I feel powerful.
Uh-huh.
I said, exactly. You keep on doing that. Now, I'm giving you tidbits of the good examples, but there are some rough rides where it was really hard. She was definitely in her little space. And then I just have to give her that space, give her the reinforcement, give her the tools, and then just pray and hope that she's going to take those and have that mind shift.
Yeah. You know, it is a skill that, you know, we can't implant how we want our children to feel, because they've got to develop the resources and the skills to figure that out for themselves. But as parents, as not even parents, but adults in children's lives, we are their internal dialogue. What we say to them, they repeat to themselves like our mantra. And it is our responsibility to reinforce them positively. Obviously not to go overboard and not, you know, to be real about it. But I love that, you know, I've done this with my daughter as well. She's also run, she's going to be 10 next week. And sometimes she's little, she's quite small. And she's always comparing herself to people who are taller than her. And so, and I often say to her, Liv, what do you like about yourself? Stop talking to me about what you don't like and what the problem is. Show me what you love about yourself. Let's talk about the things you love. And she's, oh, well, yeah, I love my hair and I love this and I can dance and I'm good at math. And I'm like, let's talk about those things, because, you know, you can't change the fact that you're small. You'll grow eventually. You'll be like the same height as probably everybody else. But right now, let's focus on what you can do. And all that's all we can do as parents is try and just shift them left or right out of going down that road of becoming like we were, because we know how painful that was. And we, yes, it led us to this point in our lives where we can help other people, but perhaps our children have got another path to follow and they need to be bolstered. I don't know the answer. I've always just, you know, you're not alone. We're all in this together. And I think that's really the message. There's millions of mothers and dads out there who are battling with the same questions. Am I a good parent? Am I doing too much? Am I doing too little? I think it's just the human condition.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I know I'm not alone on this journey. It's hard work. But you're absolutely right. Just giving her the things that, you know, the mantras, like you said, that I hope that she will take with her. Because even, I mean, I'm sure you can resonate with this, and anybody, you hear your mom's or dad's voice that's uh-huh. telling you the good things. You know, you can do this. You're better than this. You know, whatever. But then you can also hear the bad parts too.
Sure. You know, life's going to knock us down anyway. I mean, if you can just be there for your kids and be the voice of positive in their heads, it's a blessing. Right. Not everybody needs a school of hard knocks. So back to health and fitness as empowerment. And it does, it starts young. It's something we should be. I've tried getting my child to run. I've tried getting it a hike. It's like, oh, it's like dragging a cat through a swimming pool. And I think we can just lead by example. You know, I think it's the only thing that we can do. So what are your thoughts around, you know, getting young women or even older women just to like change these perceptions?
Yeah. And there's a lot of them. These perceptions, there's tons of them. And I think the only way that I can show them is by showing up. You know, I don't have a runner's body. I don't care to. And what is that? What does that even mean?
What is that anyway? Yeah.
Yeah. So I show up and I use my platform. There is good to social media, which is you have an opportunity to be on this platform and share and empower. And that's what I do, whether that's on doing a reel, you know, on Instagram or doing a TikTok, a video, or telling women it's okay to rest. Why are we not resting? It's important. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I just did a video on TikTok about resting. And there were so many women. There was a woman that said, I've been working out since, what she says, she's been working out since Sunday and she hasn't stopped. And now that she saw this video, she's realizing that she needs to give herself grace. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you do. Like, you're not losing anything. So, you know, I think that by being on podcasts and just using that, this voice that I have to empower other women, I think is helpful. And I think what you said, the realness, there is not a lot of realness. There's people who say they're real, but they're not always real. And it's funny because you said that Instagram, social media, it's the highlight reel. And this is the reason why I'm so honest on social media. Some people might say I'm too honest, but there's a reason why I'm honest, because I want people to know that we are still human beings.
Yeah.
We're human beings. You know, I want you to know there's days that I don't want to run. I want you to know there's days that I don't like myself. I want you to know there's days, this is, and when I say this, I'm telling you how I lift myself up, because I want you to also learn, you know, this is how I did it. Mm-hmm. I was feeling down about myself, but then what happened was I started thinking to myself. I mean, this is what I do. I do my lives and I'm talking as I'm thinking. And I said, I think to myself, what was I thinking? What, you know? And I think when you speak in that way, people are just like, oh my God, yes, yes, this is exactly what I'm thinking. Because not everyone feels comfortable to speak or use their voice. Not everyone has feels like they can use their voice, you know? So I think for me, it's just showing up.
Yeah, I think you're doing incredibly valuable work. And you inspire me. There's so much that I've taken away just by watching your posts, especially giving yourself a break. I mean, I used to beat myself up mentally if I skipped a run or didn't feel like it. I'd really cause myself some like serious emotional, mental angst over like not doing exactly what I set out to do. And just going, you know what, I'm going to do what I can. And already that starts helping everything. It gets you off the hook. It's not to say you're never going to do it right. Or, I mean, my goodness, we're not Olympic athletes, for goodness sakes. You don't have to go and, you know, hit the target every time. And this is a mirror for life, I suppose. This trickles into parenting, it trickles into career, it trickles into every aspect of our lives. We don't have to go and hit get the shot every single time we go out to get the shot. You know, to catch yourself some slack is really important. And what you just said about resting is critical for progress. That's what athletes do. They rest more than they train. That's why they become world class, because they can listen to their bodies. And I think it's critically important. So what I need from you is all of your links, and so that people can find you and connect with you, and also be inspired, whether they're running, whether they are just trying to get through life. I think you're an incredibly inspirational human being, and I'm so glad that I found you on Clubhouse, which I didn't even know Clubhouse existed until then. So this was the universe talking. So thank you so much for your time and your words of inspiration. And yeah, we need more people like this out there being real and helping people to find their way, especially nowadays.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Thank you. I am, you know, you asked me and I was like, oh my God, yes, I would love to. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this. This is part of my journey, even though I'm empowering other women, and that's really what I know I'm meant to be doing. Mm-hmm. It's also empowering me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel like, you know, we're all helping each other here. It's not just, it's a giving and receiving special circle, I guess you could call it.
Thank you once again for joining me for another episode of the Reinvent Health Podcast. As usual, all of my guests' details can be found in the show notes page on Apple Podcast, Anchor, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. Please don't forget to rate on Apple and leave a review.